We're talking about the resurrection. I love Ezekiel 37. When I talk to a lot of Christians and go, is the resurrection talked about in the Old Testament? Most Christians are like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the resurrection's in the Old Testament. So let's look at Ezekiel 37. Starting in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. In other words, Ezekiel was placed in the middle of a cemetery. He led me back and forth among them. That's like walking among the gravestones. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know. I don't know if dead people can live again, but God, you know the answer to that." Verse 4, then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you." Breath in the Hebrew can be spirit. It can be at the resurrection, when we die, our spirit and soul go to heaven, and this could be our spirit and soul coming back to our bodies. "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." That's how we'll know God is God, when he resurrects us from the dead. Verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Verse 12, "Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people," listen, Christians, "O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, the best news that we've ever heard came from a cemetery. And it was when Jesus Christ rose from the dead from a tombstone located in a cemetery in Israel. And when he rose from the dead, that is the best news that we have ever heard. Come to 1 Corinthians 15. I love like looking at the resurrection and what many of us are looking forward to in the future here. 1 Corinthians 15. So we're going through this chapter. 2 weeks ago, I went over what the gospel is, the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the good news. Jesus resurrected from the dead after paying for our sins on the cross. And then he was seen by Peter, then the 12 apostles, then 500 brothers at the same time, and then by James, and then by all the apostles, and then by the apostle Paul. Then there were some Christians who said, "We don't believe in the resurrection of the dead." And Paul, this was last week's sermon, Paul said, "What do you mean you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then even Christ hasn't resurrected from the dead. And if Christ hasn't resurrected from the dead, then all preaching is useless. And if all preaching is useless, your faith is futile and your faith is useless. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, all of our loved ones that have died, they're lost, they're gone forever. And we should be more pitied than anyone else." Then Paul goes, "But let me tell you something. I know that Christ has indeed been resurrected from the dead." So, That's where we ended last week. So now someone says, yeah, Paul, okay, we're with you. Christ rose from the dead. The believers are going to resurrect from the dead. Here's the question we have. What kind of bodies? What's it going to be like when we resurrect from the dead? And that's where we're picking up verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 15. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. He's comparing us being buried to planting a seed in the ground, planting a garden. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. So God is comparing being buried to like planting seeds in a garden. And so I thought I'd have some fun here with you. I'm looking, how many different types of seeds do you think there are in the world? There is like millions. So there's seeds, I don't know, I picked out seeds for farmers, cereal, corn, wheat, rice. I mean, you can have all kinds. There's seeds for fruit, seeds for vegetables, seed for grass. And I was thinking Colorado, they have some different type of grass out there too. What is that a seed for? So what's that? That's an acorn for those that cannot see. So what is that a seed for? An oak tree. And you notice that what's planted is not the same as what comes forth. Does anyone know what this is seed of? It's something in a garden. If you plant these seeds, what do you get? Just checking. This is lettuce, which is very delicious with Italian dressing on it. Okay, so now, so I'm looking at all these different seeds, and I knew our projector's bad. I wanted to show you there are some really unique seeds. Some seeds are huge. Some seeds have the most interesting covers and colors, and it's like amazing the variety of millions of seeds that get planted, that die, and then out comes something new and different. I am now going to show you, in my humble opinion, the two most unique seeds that I know. All right, you with me? Here they are. There's two seeds. Okay. So you get planted. And Paul is saying here, it's going to be different. It dies, and what comes forth is going to be different than the body we're being planted in the ground. I guess you could say cemeteries are God's flower beds, God's vegetable garden, whatever. And we're being planted, the believers are being planted into the ground. And what comes forth is our spiritual body, our heavenly resurrected bodies are going to be different than the bodies we now have. So Paul goes on here and he says, and I know on most seeds there's like a hard shell. I just picture like the casket we get buried in. That's the hard shell of the seed. And then the soft part is inside, you know. Okay. So, verse 38. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and into each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds, another, and fish, another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. Now, I want to stop there for a second. So there are different types of bodies. Different animals have one type of body. Humans have one type of body. Birds have one type of body. Fish have one type of body. There are earthly bodies, and there are heavenly bodies. So I'm just going to have fun with you. The flesh of animals and birds and humans are all different. So this is a cockroach. And God gives us the human flesh in order for us to survive on the earth. So this is longevity. How long does the average cockroach live? Does anyone know? About 1 year. So my wife said in the early service, you know, 1 day too long. Okay, so let me test you here. Now, I didn't put a real snake because I thought people would pass out. How long does the average snake live? It's got some unique skin. 20 years the average snake lives. Now, this one here is amazing. How long does the average goldfish live? The average goldfish is supposed to live 30 years. I know. With our kids, you know, we were happy if they made it a couple of weeks or a month or so. The average puppy, 12 to 15 years. All right, how long does the average camel live? 25 to 30 years. Average chimpanzee, 55 to 60 years. Elephant, 80 to 90 years old. Yeah, for an elephant, which is it's interesting. So that got me thinking. So Paul is like, we all have different flesh, animals, birds, people, to survive on the earth. But there are earthly bodies and there are heavenly bodies. And the animals, there are animals in heaven. There is no doubt about that. We know there's eagles. We know there's horses. But somehow their bodies will be different as well. But it did got me thinking, what is the longest living animal on earth? Okay. Now, humans don't, you know, well, I'll get to that in the future here. What do you think is the longest living animal? Turtles. So right here, the Galapagos. Yes, that's another way to pronounce it. I was giving the Greek interpretation of what how do you say them? Galapagos. And what does that mean? How do we know you know the pronunciation, Joanne? Oh, you. Okay, Joanne. How long do the Galapagos live? Yeah, 200 years. Can you believe that? Now I know why the tortoise beats the rabbit. Because he lives forever. 200 years, he can travel pretty far. So, yeah, that's amazing, 200 years. All right, let's read on here. Verse 39, I want to start. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another. Fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. Now he's going to explain how our heavenly bodies are different from our earthly bodies. And here, and this is probably true whether you're animal or human, some of these, but for humans, the body that is sown, the body that we bury is what? Is perishable. It is raised imperishable. So the body that we sow is perishable. In the Greek, it's perishable or disposable. So right now, these bodies are, you know, we talk about disposable diapers. You use and then you trash, you get rid of. Well, that's the type of bodies we have now. They're disposable. They're perishable. That term is used usually for food. That food is perishable. If you don't use it, it decays. It goes bad. Well, that's how Paul says these human bodies, they're perishable. They die. They wear out. I was telling you, humans, how long do humans live? On average, humans live the longest in Japan, 80 years. The United States is 77 years. And Ethiopia, the average lifespan is 33 years. That's the shortest. If we lived in Ethiopia, most of us wouldn't be here. So it's perishable. It wears out. Last night I was, this crazy, like 9 o'clock, I said to Kevin, let's go play tennis. So we go down to the tennis court, and it was still kind of light out. But eventually, by like 9:30, the only thing Kevin and I could see was a yellow ball I couldn't even see him, but we would just follow. It was funny watching this glow-in-the-dark ball as we're trying to hit it. But my back is really hurting. You know, it's probably from working and stuff, but my back was hurting playing tennis, and I'm like, that's a perishable. I have a perishable body. But when it is raised, it is imperishable, meaning we get a body that is now going to last for eternity. It is not going to break down. It is not going to have pains and aches. And I keep thinking to myself, wow, we're going to get this imperishable body. Like, any of you having problems with your eyesight as you get older? Okay, just about five of you. The rest of you will have to tell us your secrets. So I'm just thinking to myself, when we get to heaven, we get this imperishable body. And I'm like, maybe we're going to have amazing eyesights like the eagle. You know, the eagles can see like a rat 2 miles away. I'm saying, maybe that's the eyesight. Maybe, you know, because of the fall, our eyes don't work as good. But maybe when we get to heaven, we'll be able to see like, wow, what eyesight. I don't need contacts anymore and LASIK surgery and all that stuff. Or how many of you are hearing is you're having trouble with your hearing a little bit? Now, usually the young people should raise their hands because they all have those things in their ears to hear all the time. So I'm thinking maybe we'll have hearing that's just unbelievable. We'll be able to hear like dogs and you know, like we'll have tremendous hearing and we won't need crutches and canes and we won't need wheelchairs and we're going to have a body that doesn't break down. It's imperishable. It will last for eternity. Okay, second thing. So verse 43, it is sown in what? Dishonor, but it is raised in glory. So our bodies are sown in dishonor. So here's a cemetery. Let me tell you about my first experience. True confession here. When my grandparents died, I was like 11, 12. I was in shock. I was devastated. And I made a pledge when I was 12 years old that I would never go to another funeral in my life. And I actually followed that until I became a pastor. And then after I became a pastor, I found out I had to do funerals. Okay? But from like 12 until 25, I never went to a funeral. So now I'm a pastor and I'm like, okay, I got to do funerals. So I get, and I know I shouldn't tell you this because this is behind the scenes. So we're at the funeral home and there's this nice casket and there's the perishable body that you put makeup on so it doesn't look like it's perishable. And everyone comes in nice dresses and suits and ties, very formal, nice funeral home, very, you know, nice flowers. And then we go into the hearse and the funeral director, and we all drive to the cemetery. And when we arrive at the cemetery, there's this beautiful tent set up out in the, and they've got this nice, like, curtained off table to put the casket on. And there's chairs, and they've got fake green grass set out. And it's just beautiful. The flowers are set up, and the casket comes in, and oh, what honor, and what, you know, so nice and all. And I made this commitment that I would be like the last one at the casket. I thought it'd be good. The family drives off, and I'm standing there kind of, you know, as the last one to pay their respects. So the family all leaves. I'm standing there all alone at this casket as they're going goodbye. And I'm going, this isn't too bad. This seems so respectable, so dignified, so honorable. But it says there, the body is sown in what? Dishonor. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I hear the backfire of an old pickup truck coming up with a backhoe on the back of it. And there's like four scrungy guys with the like dirty clothes, and they drive up. I'm like, what's going on here? And like a circus ride, like a carnival ride, they start tearing down the tent and they take the chairs away and the fake grass off, and then they take the curtain off of this nice table. I'm like, there's a hole in the ground. I didn't even see the hole in the ground there. And then they got these tools and, you know, the casket. I know I shouldn't be telling you this. You know, they're lowering the casket and pushing it in and dirt. And I'm like, I mean, you know, I'm glad the family's gone not to see what's going on here. Like, you know, and the backhoe, they cover it up and it's like, done. And I'm like, wow. I know we're trying to make it pretty and look nice, but ultimately I'm like, you're buried 6 foot under. This is just so, like, such sad. I mean, all this. But you're raised in what? You're raised in glory. Now, glory talks about splendor. Glory is the glory. It's God's glory that we reflect. So I have to tell you this, that, and it's interesting, scientists say there's something very unique about human skin. And just, we believe that our skin was made to reflect God's glory. Now, God's glory could be inside of us, and we glow like a light bulb, an LED light bulb. Or if you get into the presence of God, our skin would glow. You remember Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the garden, and after they sinned and they lost their glory, what did they discover when they no longer shined with God's glory? They were what? They were naked, okay? So sin, that's why we don't shine. When Moses went in to speak with the Lord, and was into the Lord's presence, and when he would walk out, what did the people notice? He glowed. Because he was in the presence of the Lord. His skin had that glow to it. When Stephen was being stoned in the book of Acts, he looks up to heaven and he sees God the Father and he sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. When the people saw Stephen, because he was seeing the Lord, they were like, he's got the face of an angel. He's glowing with splendor, with God's radiance. And so we're sown in dishonor, but when we come out, there's a glory, there's a splendor. We reflect the Lord again. Now, I want you to come, because I need to teach you something about this glory. We don't all shine with the same glory. In fact, or the same splendor. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 for a moment. Look in verse 40 again. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies, the glory, the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in what? In splendor, in glory. So Paul is teaching, look, the sun has a really bright glory, and the moon has a glory, and the stars are a splendor. But the stars differ from the other stars. That's a bright star. That's not quite as a bright star. There's a really bright star over there. The stars differ in splendor and glory. Turn with me to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 12. It's the last chapter of Daniel. Don't lose 1 Corinthians, obviously, but come to the last chapter in Daniel. Daniel, chapter 12. Verse 2, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Daniel comments on this truth about us reflecting God's glory and the different splendors. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. That's that glory. That's that splendor. Those who are wise are really going to be shiny. But even more than that, it says those who lead many to righteousness, those who lead people to Jesus will shine like what? The stars forever and ever. So I want you to understand, when we resurrect from the dead, we all have a glory. We all have a splendor. We all, you know, but there will be a difference among us in how much we shine. And it will all depend on how we've been living for Jesus during this life. So you clearly need to understand, someone who's been faithful to Jesus for 50 years in their life, serving him, using God's wisdom, are going to shine brighter than the person who just came to Jesus 2 days before he died on his deathbed. finally repents, gives his heart to the Lord. That the faithful believer for 50 years who's being transformed to be more like Christ, they both go to heaven. But I'm telling you, that one is going to shine much brighter than the one who just got waited to the end of his life, gave his heart to Jesus, and is up in heaven. I want you to understand that the soul winner probably is going to shine the brightest. The soul winner, the person who leads other people to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And why is that? That's because to me, the soul winner is the one who ultimately loves God and loves his neighbor as himself. If you're going to love God, if you love God, then you'll obey his commands. And the command that God gives is to share the good news of Jesus, to go make disciples. And so you can't say, well, I love God, and then you don't share Jesus with anyone. But, you know. And it's to love your neighbor as yourself. If you really love people, if you love your neighbor, does your neighbor know Jesus? Does your family know Jesus? Do your friends know Jesus? Do your coworkers know Jesus? And so it is the soul winner who uses God's wisdom. Proverbs 11:30, he who is wise will win souls. So it is the soul winner who shares his faith that is going to glow. So the Christian who lives 40 years for themselves, they're a Christian for 40 years, never share their faith, never tell anyone else how to escape hell, never tells anyone else about their wonderful relationship with Jesus, is not going to shine as bright as the faithful Christian for 30 years who's sharing their faith and telling people about Jesus. All right, let's come back to 1 Corinthians 15. I got to wrap up. I get excited about this stuff. All right, verse 43 in 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, in splendor. Our bodies, and we will have different splendors depending upon how we live for Jesus. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. I can just tell you the word in the Greek there for weakness is sickness. Our bodies are sown in weakness, in sickness. There are five things that will kill most of us. Heart attacks, cancer, strokes, lung disease, and diabetes. That will take almost all of us out of here. We are going to die in sickness and weakness, but we raise in power. And for those that love the Greek, the word in the Greek is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. Dynamite is just a Greek word. And so we're sown in sickness, death, accidents, but we're raised with power. We come out and we're strong for the Lord. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The Bible says that Adam was the first living being. I was going to share some interesting stuff about evolution, but I am out of time. So the spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, Jesus, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven if we're saved. We're going to resurrect from the dead. What kind of bodies do we have? I know some things. I know when Jesus... We're going to have a similar body to the body Jesus got. Just as we have a body right now that's like our father Adam, we have an earthly body. For those of us that are born again, we're going to get a spiritual body that is like Jesus, like his body. When he's buried in the tomb, let me ask you a question. Did God just create a new body, or did he take the perishable weak body of Jesus that was in the tomb and transform that body? Transform the one that was in the tomb. And so, and that's why when Jesus came out, there wasn't a body there. God didn't just do a brand new body. That was the seed. Out of that seed came the new body. That was transformed. And not next week, because next week's Father's Day, but in 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about, you know, the rapture, or when Jesus Christ comes back. If we're alive when Jesus Christ comes back, our bodies are just transformed just right now, and they're transformed into the heavenly bodies that we will get. So Jesus comes out. Were people able to touch him with his heavenly body? Yes, you could touch him. Mary fell and grabbed his legs, and he said to Thomas, come on, touch me. You can put your hand here. You can see it, you know, that I've got, but yet he could walk through walls. Okay? So I'm thinking, wow, you know, we're probably, you know, he could go up to the clouds. So maybe we can, you know, maybe gravity has no effect. Maybe we can move through walls. Did Jesus eat with his resurrected body? He said, hey, you have some fish? Give me some fish. Up in heaven, there's trees of life that have 12 different fruit every month. So I think we get to eat fruit, and I think our bodies will be so perfect that you won't need a restroom because your bodies will perfectly digest everything. We know that up in heaven, you will be able to recognize each other. We know that we get to speak, we get to sing, we get to move, we get to play musical instruments up in heaven. It will be a body that will last forever. I mean, I don't know. I'm looking, of course, I was excited when I got saved at 18. But this is the good news of the resurrection. Let's look to the Lord. Father, I get excited because it's when we resurrect that we are going to know we serve a risen Savior. We serve the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the one who can make our dead bodies alive again, the one that can, even if we get cremated, the one that can put the ashes back together to bones, put the bones back together, the tendons, heavenly flesh, and we will resurrect. You will breathe your spirit into us, and we will live for eternity. Lord, I know at the tomb of Lazarus, you came to Mary and Martha, and you said, your brother will live again. And they said, yes, Lord, we know at the end days he'll live again. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And so, Jesus, we acknowledge you are the resurrection and the life. And maybe we're being foolish trying to figure out what our heavenly bodies are going to look like, but we know it's going to be amazing. It will be glorious. And we give you praise and thanks in your name. Amen.